All right, the maimer we're going to learn this morning, or at least part of it, was delivered by the Rebbe on the Shabbos Parshas Truma. The year was Tufshin Mem Gimel, equivalent to 1983. And it's based on an opening verse in the Parsha. It's kind of like a roundup verse. The Parsha opens up by talking about God asking the Jewish people for donations, and then there's a roundup verse. And the roundup verse says, V'asuli Migdash. This is what it's all about. You're going to make for me a Migdash, V'shachanti, B'seichem, and I will dwell amongst them. The Amr Razal. So in this Maimer, the Rebbe zeroes in on a statement which our sages make, which is found in the Medrash Shmuel and in the Vayikra Rabba. Kol Mokem Shenemar Li, wherever it says the word Li, Lamed Yud, Eine Zaz Li Elam, then that is never going to budge. If it says Li, it's there for eternity. Lei Be'elam Hazeh, Now, obviously, the truth of Torah is always true, and nothing changes the truth. However, there are certain details in Torah which one could argue at periods of time do not have relevance in the technical, actual, real-time realm. So whatever, that's true conceptually, but it remains on a conceptual level. But if it says Li, that's a different story. If it says Li, you can bet your bottom dollar it's always going to be there. And it's always going to be relevant. It's always going to be meaningful. And after all, it does say, V'asu Li Migdash. And that has got to be one of the most surprising statements in the entirety of Chazal. Because we all know that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't physically exist today. V'tzarech Lahavin. This really requires elucidation. As is aired in a Maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe of 1948, he says, Hare HaMikdash, after all the Migdash, Hainu Mishkan, that is the Mishkan, V'asuli Migdash, Mishkan, Migdash, the words are interchangeable. Mishkan is Ikri Migdash. After all, the Gemara in Erevin tells us that sometimes the Gemara uses the word Mishkan, and sometimes, I mean, the Torah, the scripture, will use Mishkan, or sometimes Migdash, but they're not two separate things. So it says here, V'asuli Migdash. And the very fact that it has two names is indicative of the notion of Hayu Beishinuyu. There were differences. There's the Mishkan, and then there's the Migdash, and they're not the same. And the Migdash, Sha'asa Shlema, Solomon's Temple, V'abayis Hasheni, and the second base of Migdash, Shneihem Nechrevu, were both destroyed. It's not a secret. The Hainu, that is to say, the Leizu Bavad, Shahayu Bem Shinuyim. Not only were there some kind of changes, not only does the Mishkan shift from being a temporary tabernacle to a building made of stone with a permanent location, but the Shabbat Legamri Lechera. This is like a shocking statement. We know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, razed to the ground. In the first Beis HaMikdash, there's still some foundations left. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed to the point we don't even know with certainty where the Beis HaMikdash stood. We have the approximate location. We don't even know with certainty where it was. So, how do you square that with the notion of Li? That's it. If it says Li, you're good. Eini Zaz. It's never changing. This is ever changing. Not never changing. Eich Nemar. How can it be said that any zoz, that it doesn't move, it doesn't budge? La'olam for eternity. So the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, sets out to explain this very conundrum in his memorim that I printed in Eret Teira. And he says that, you know, there's this maxim, which is found in the writings of our sages, that Migdash Ha'elyein, Mechubar Mamesh L'Migdash HaTachten, that the heavenly temple is parallel and linked, tethered to the earthly temple. Ukeinyan, this is along the ideas that are articulated by David HaMelech in Psalm 122, where there King David says, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Jerusalem, in its built-up state, Ki'ir shechubra lo yachtov. That's like a city of total unity, which means more than there wasn't supposed to be a wall going through dividing the city of Yerushalayim. But it means Yerushalayim shel Maila mechubar im Yerushalayim shel Mata. As the Gemara in Masechet Taina says on page 5, that this means that the earthly Jerusalem is never sundered or separated from the heavenly Jerusalem. The heavenly reality and the earthly reality always remained conjoined. They always remain attached. So, along those lines, the Tzemach Tzedek suggests that that's the meaning of Eini Zaz Le'olam. Yerushalayim doesn't change. The heavenly Yerushalayim remains ever mirrored and in parallel to the earthly Yerushalayim. The heavenly Migdash would also remain always parallel to the earthly Migdash. So what happens when the earthly Migdash moves? Okay, then the heavenly Migdash moves. But Eini Zaz, there's never a separation for a moment. The heavenly temple is always tethered or linked to whatever kind of remnants of a temple will be left in Ilum Hazeh, in this material world. And that is to say that once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that the heavenly Beis HaMikdash remains tethered to the site of where the earthly Beis HaMikdash was. As the Rebbe many times used to say, that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist, and then he would carefully add the word, Begashmias. It doesn't exist materially. It exists spiritually. So why do we go to the Kotel if it exists spiritually? Because it remains tethered. It remains tethered. It's almost like a grave. It's like a body remains, a soul remains tethered to a body. It remains tethered. The Beis HaMikdash, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash, always remains connected, and that means Eini Zaz. And because of that, Meir Gam Achshav Beruchnis. Therefore, on a spiritual level, the Beis HaMikdash continues to function as before. It resonates with a certain holiness. That's why we face the Beis HaMikdash when we pray. That's why we face the Beis HaMikdash when we memorialize our dead. And just about every other thing of sanctity and importance we do, we're facing the Beis HaMikdash. That's because there, in that site, there's a direct link and a resonation of the Migdash HaElyon. Omnam. So the Rebbe now comments on this answer, this clarification of a seeming intractable statement of our sages of Eini Zaz Le'olam, that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is there for eternity and never budges and seemingly never changes. The Rebbe says, this would then be connected to the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. This is a spiritual concept. What does that have to do with the physical Beis HaMikdash, the physical, material, terrestrial commandment that we received of Va'asuli Migdash? That's not a spiritual thing. That's not a heavenly thing. That's an earthly thing. We were commanded to make it earthly Beis HaMikdash. Craft it. Make it. Va'asu. And then we say, Eini Zaz, it's not going to move. So noting this issue, and it is an issue, can't ignore it. Okay. You explain it away, that it has relevance on a spiritual realm. Yeah, but the mitzvah wasn't given on a spiritual realm. The mitzvah was given on an earthly plane. So the Rebbe says something very interesting. V'yeshleimar. Maybe this is the reason. Shalachein mevi kveit kedusha admor tzemach tzedek oid bir. Tzemach tzedek curiously brings another very different explanation in the same maimer. So typically, the Maimarim of Chassidus can have different explanations, different approaches. But the same Maimer will not bring conflicting Biurim, usually. The same Maimer will follow a theme. The way the Maimarim of Chassidus are designed, they usually take a theme and develop it in the fullest sense so we should be able to understand it. There's no little jingles in Chassidus Chabad. Chassidus Chabad, everything is like you have to look deeply into it and understand it, and there's a profundity and there's a depth. So in the profundity and depth that's being spoken of here, We see that the Maimer advances in a concept. Eini Zaz means that Yerushalayim Shel Maila is mechubar to Yerushalayim Shel Mata. And the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, takes it and says, aha, you see, if Yerushalayim is heavenly Jerusalem, is tethered to earthly Jerusalem. So then taking that into its natural progression, the heavenly Beis HaMikdash remains tethered to its earthly iteration, the site of the Beis HaMikdash, which is a chiddush, I believe, of the Tzemach Tzedek, that the idea of Yerushalayim Shel Maila and Mata, that the heavenly notion of Jerusalem and earthly notion of Jerusalem and their continued connection also expresses itself within the confines of Migdash, of the actual Beis HaMikdash. Not only is there a heavenly Jerusalem, there's also a heavenly Beis HaMikdash, and that heavenly Beis HaMikdash remains connected to the earthly Beis HaMikdash. And you would think that Tzemach Tzedek would develop this idea, but very interestingly, in the same Maimer, he introduces a very different approach. A totally different approach, because the first approach remains geographically central to Yerushalayim. It's Yerushalayim Shomayla. Yerushalayim is a geographic area. The Beis HaMikdash is a geographic site. So it's very much Mishkan, Migdash, Jerusalem focused. But the second answer that Tzemach Tzedek gives has nothing to do per se with Yerushalayim, it seems. It's a totally disparate approach. Different. Shivim Panim Oteira. But the Pella, the strange thing is that they're in the same Maimer. And that is, Abir, another beer, Alpi Mashen is Boyer, based on what's written, and this is a pasuk in Yechezkel, that it says, Ve'eh Yelohem L'migdash Ma'at. God says, through his prophet Ezekiel, about the galut, the exilic reality of the Jewish people and their continued relationship with God, so God says, I will be for them as a minor sanctuary. Ve'amru Razal, and the Gemara says, near the end of Masechet Megillah on page 29, Elo bati knesiyos ubati medrashos. This is a direct reference to houses of prayer and to houses of Torah study. That is to say, synagogues and institutions of learning. Hainu, b'chol markim, in every place. Gam bizman agolos, even during times of exilic dispersion, even when we are totally disconnected from the geography of the Holy Land, and for centuries we were. Hine, habati knesiyos ubati medrashos. So behold, these houses of holiness in which the Jewish people worship and fulfill the sacred mitzvah of studying Torah, hemigdash ma'at. They are a minor sanctuary. In other words, that becomes your Beis HaMikdash. And that's Ein Izaz Leilam. That never changes. Wherever Jewish people have lived, there has always been synagogues, there's always been yeshivot. And if there are only synagogues, then we were in big trouble. We didn't last. There needs to be not only a bayit shemagadlim bo Torah, not only a place where we increase and emphasize the notion of study, of prayer, pardon me, but also a bayit shemagadlim bo Torah as well. It's Torah and tefillah. So bati knesiyos and bati medrashos. And we have always had houses like this. And we have never stopped having areas designated for worship. And because of this, God remains with the Jewish people for eternity in a microcosmic way. Not in the large, overarching Beis HaMikdash concept, a global spiritual center, but a local center, a neighborhood center, a block center, a city center, a country center, the different centers, but it becomes a center nonetheless. That is to say, the Mikivan She'eini Zoz Mirushalayim Shalmaila, because God's presence doesn't go or doesn't remove itself from the heavenly Jerusalem, lachein gam leizaz mirushalayim shomata. Therefore, God's presence won't move from the concept of shechina, of dwelling, of presence in this world. The gam kaasher hoya hachurban, ba'efen the kiluch hamosri ala etzim v'alavonim. That even in such time, where God poured His fury, or vented His fury on stone and on wood, and thusly sparing the Jewish people. Nisha Gama Beis HaMikdash Shalomata. Nonetheless, even though the wood and the stone had fury poured and vented upon them, something was left. And these are the Bati Knesiyos or Bati Midrashos. That's the Mikdash Ma'at. So really and truly, if you think about it, it's unusual that Tzemach Tzedek to bring two very different kind of biurim. Their biurim, their explanations, very different kind of biurim, is brought in the same maimer. And the Rebbe is suggesting the reason it's brought in the same maimer is because the first biur cannot adequately explain the question. Even if you develop this in its fullest sense, even if you appreciate the notion of a heavenly Jerusalem tethered to an earthly Jerusalem, and even if you translate that into the frame and confine of Migdash Shomayla and Migdash Shomata, in the end, there isn't anything here physically. There's a place where something was, but there isn't, it's not here. So it's a spiritual concept. If it's a spiritual concept, what difference does it make to geography? What does it have to do with the material world? So therefore, the Tzemach Tzedek adds, he buttresses the first approach with a second, as if to say, it's almost as if you cannot have one without the other. It's only when you have both of the explanations together that you're able to understand the business of Eini Zoz La'ilam. This is maybe like the Rebbe says in many of his Rashi Sichas, that the reason that Rashi will bring two answers, even though there's other multiple, it could be multiple answers, it could be 10 answers to something that I found in Chazal. But Rashi will bring two, for example. And sometimes, in a rare occasion, even three answers, is because each one of these answers is profoundly problematic from a perspective of Pshuta Shel Mikra, of the straightforward meaning. And because each answer is problematic and each answer doesn't adequately, fully give a satisfying answer, so then Rashi has no choice but to give you kind of a conjunctive interpretation that quotes multiple answers, because the only way you're going to understand this is with multiple viewpoints that are being employed at the same time. And the Rebbe seems to be saying here that the only way, the reason that Tzemach Tzedek quotes two very different explanations in the Maamar, is because the only way that we'll really be able to understand or appreciate the idea of Eini Zoz is only we have both the explanations together. Now something very interesting happens in this Maamar. Now, the Rebbe begins to talk about the concept of Beis HaMikdash altogether. What does it mean? Who needs a Beis HaMikdash? And I'm going to put it out there that L'chayda, what does it have to do with the first section of the Maamar about the Eini Zoz La'ilom, which has two explanations in the Maamar of Tzemach Tzedek, which the Rebbe suggests are required because each is incomplete without the other. And then he goes off seemingly in a different direction. But if you think about it carefully, really it isn't a different direction. And we'll soon see. No. Nevertheless, Tzarech L'Hav, we need to understand. Mahu Achidush, what is the novelty here? Shebe'inyin HaMikdash, that with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, Sheboy Yeshna Hashros Hashchina. What is this about? What is this notion of, oh, a Beis HaMikdash? Oh, sure, yeah, that's the place where God dwells. God dwells? Vaharei Ksiv, is it not written after all? Es HaShamayim V'Sa'oretz Ani Mole? Heaven and earth, yeah, I'm there, as God says. In fact, elsewhere it's written that God's, all of this is within divinity. I know. But even besides the fact that it's all within divinity, God even says, I fill these places. My presence is in all these places. There isn't a crevice of the material reality in which God's presence does not dwell in its fullness, is not there in its fullness. Ani Mole. Hainu, Shuale Kusi is Baruch Nimsa B'chol Makim. The divinity is everywhere. Not only the level of divinity that we could say, oh, it says mole. Mole means it fills. So mole means bechinas memale kol alamin. That's a level of divinity that engages with each level of creation according to its level. But really, it goes beyond that. Elegam bechinas ani, which ani in Chassidus generally refers to the atmospheric reality of God, the overwhelming reality of God that is far greater than creation, that equates all of creation and doesn't address its individual or distinct realities or frames of existence. So you have Seviv Kalaman, and higher than Seviv Kalaman, and it's everywhere. So in that case, what do you need a Beis HaMikdash for? Im Kain, Ma Wachidish of a Beis HaMikdash. What's the novelty? So Mazel Tov, we got a Beis HaMikdash. What? He wasn't here before. He says, don't worry. This is irrevocable. This shall remain for eternity. The Mishkan is always going to be here. The Mishkan is Eini Zoz. I said, what's Eini Zoz? It was always here. What happened? What changed? You say, it's a change? And this change is never going to be undone. I didn't even know what the change was. God is not everywhere. Vafilim Tim Tzuleimer. And even if one will try to stretch and say, yes, God is everywhere. But God is everywhere because God chooses to be everywhere. That has nothing to do with your choice. God wishes to be here because you chose to bring him in. You know, the Kotzker Rebbe once said, he once came into Shul, he was a very sharp man, and he started to pound on the bima. And they said, Rebbe, what is it? He said, where is God? He said. And they said, what do you mean, Rebbe? You're a holy man. You're asking us where God is? You're a teacher of a master of Chassidus. What do you mean? God, every child knows Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. So the Chassid Rebbe said, no. God is where you let him in. God's where you let. So God is everywhere. That's from God's perspective. How about from our perspective? Say, God, thank you very much. We got no room for you here. You know, there's this, in antiquity, it was called a bumper sticker. Now it's called a meme on Facebook. Going around, it says, people say, how could God let this happen in the schools? And the response is, and you know, God responds, you haven't allowed me into the school for about 30 years now. You have to let God in. You have to make God part of your life. Of course, God is everywhere. Do you open your mind to God? Do you open a heart to God? Do you let God in? That's the question. So even if you want to say that you need to have a Avodas HaAdam, okay, fine. Okay, I get it. You have to let God in. So what do I need the business of Asli Migdash? Why do I have to build a base of Migdash for? You want to let God in? Put on tefillin, learn Torah, light Shabbos candles, put up mezuzahs, eat kosher, let God in. Live a life that's mindful of God. The thing is, Baruch Betanya, the Achidish, the Beis HaMikdash, the novelty of Beis HaMikdash is Shetia Ashros Hashchina Begilui B'mokim Mesuyam. This is in the 53rd chapter, the end of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe finishes off the book by speaking about the notion of the Shechina, and he says that it needs to be in a specific place, and he gives us a metaphor. Kumay HaNefesh HaMitlabeshas B'guf, just like the soul, which becomes enclosed in the body. Harei HaNefesh Hu Etzem Poshut. The nefesh itself is not the power to hear, see, digest, or coordinate. The nefesh itself is life. And all of the body is alive. One cannot argue that the brain is more alive than the toes. Live is live. Dead is dead. The person is alive. The oisa nefesh, he mislabeshes b'cholim achevarim shesagidim. It's the same life. It's the same live. Like we talked about many times, the rats don't come to chew on the toes in the middle of the night, but they will come to chew on a corpse. Why? Why? Because they're afraid of life, because there's a pulsating nature of life. And life is in the entire body equally. And afal pike, nonetheless, Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sa'adam, God created a person, ba'ifin kazeh, sha'ashros ha'nefesh begoloi, hu b'meyach shebereish tafke. Where is the nefesh seen? Where is the center of human consciousness? The brain. And from there it goes to the whole body. And actually, with everything we know scientifically today, that's how it works really. The brain is the control center, and there are nerves that spread through the vertebrae throughout the whole body. This metaphor is also invoked to explain the notion of Migdash, that the presence of Hashem resonates there openly. Openly. So God's presence, like the neshama is seen in the brain openly in consciousness, God's presence then spreads throughout the whole body. The body meaning, in the metaphor, the world. So what does this have to do with the first part of the Maimer? What's that to do with the first part of the Maimer? First part of the Maimer is that to say that it's Yerushalayim centric or geography related is not good enough. We need to have this other interpretation, the other idea that God told us to build a Mishkan and a Migdash later on evolves, as Prophet Ezekiel says, into our minor sanctuaries, synagogues, houses of study. Then there never comes to the whole business of Gilui, of revelation, but he just finished saying in the first paragraph that we don't have revelation today. So what did the Rebbe try to answer? How is he furthering the explanation? So the first answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm presuming that everything here is written, it's accurate, even though it's an unedited, you know, manuscript of the listeners.
The brain is the brain.
The Mishkan, the Migdash is the brain. But here's what I think that I was trying to say. I think that the point of this Maimer is that even though we have two explanations, one profoundly centralized, Yerushalayim, Migdash, the site of Jerusalem, the second, the Bati Knesis and Bati Midrashas, but nonetheless, even in a minor way, just as the Shekhinah is found openly, or through the brain, through the Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah comes to the whole world, so too, in today's day and age, the Shekhinah comes to every locale through the Beis HaKnesset and Beis HaMikdash. I think this is like a transformer. You have the power center. The power center is Yerushalayim. And I think that every shul, every Beis HaMikdash, every Beis Chabad is basically a transformer that connects to that central. And even the transformer also acts in a central way, because transformers power a particular area. Maybe this is like it says, like Amsha Besadis. People didn't make it to shul. They can't come. Okay, they're in the fields. They're fulfilling their mitzvah because people are in shul davening. In other words, L'cha'ayre, it would seem that the Rebbe is trying to suggest that this notion, both explanations, both Yerushalayim remaining the ground zero of Jewish spirituality and the idea that Bati Knesis and Bati Midrashas are also a fulfillment of Asli Migdash, and therefore, because it says Eini Zaz, if it's Eini Zaz, it doesn't change, then if the Beis HaMikdash's purpose is to serve as a diffusion point of divinity, of Shekhinah, then so would L'cha'ira, would seemingly have to be, even with our Beis HaMikdash and Beis HaKnesses, that it serves as a minor diffusion point for the area that it serves. I mean, this is just... That's what I'm trying to understand, why the Rebbe goes from part one of the Maimer into part two of the Maimer. I don't know if this observation is correct, But if it is, then it's very compelling. If it is, it's very compelling because the Rebbe essentially has sewn together. He said in the first part of the Maamar that Tzemach Tzedek means both message, both ideas, because each idea is lackluster. One idea doesn't have the other. But the Rebbe, essentially the second part then, has shown how the two ideas work in tandem. Both ideas, the geography idea of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedesh, individual neighborhood idea, both are able to operate in unison, and even in unanimity, and both bespeak and represent the same spiritual concept unfolded on earth. Anyway, that's the first two parts of the Maamar. In the third part of the Maamar, the Rebbe gets very personal, takes this all home, and he translates this into our own life. He shows you how you have it based on English in your own life, actually. In your own personal reality. And then, in the fourth and concluding part of the Maamar, which you're not going to get to the third and fourth parts, the Rebbe says that this whole idea ultimately is still very much in a spiritual way, but he says by us discussing it and talking about it and learning about it, that our hope and prayer is that we actualize the themes and the essence of the Mikdash into the reality of the future with the coming of Mashiach b'mheira, will be Amenu, Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Thanks for joining us all week.